T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Deshaun hands off to Johnson. Now to Hop right side, who flips the ball to Watson. Diving for the pylon, and he's got it. Razzle dazzle. Touchdown, Houston.
Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham. We're going to refuse to ignore in victory what we wouldn't in defeat. I have an unpopular opinion. I might be the only person in the city of Houston that thinks this. I didn't like the play yesterday with DeAndre Hopkins throwing the little pitch out to Deshaun Watson. O'Brien talked about it after the game, said the timing of the play was right.
I think they drew that one up in the dirt over the bye week, and they brought it in, and they had it on a piece of notebook paper, and they handed it to me. And, you know, we've been working on that for a while, and, you know, it was all about the timing, you know, where we could get the ball so we could run a play like that. And, you know, the timing was right. We got the ball down there in the six-yard line, and that was where we wanted to do it, and we did it, and they executed pretty well. It wasn't the exact look we thought we were going to get, and they made it work.
That's Bill O'Brien talking about it. Still don't like it. Deshaun Watson discussing where the idea came from.
We were watching the game, and actually, I think it was Chicago that did it. And Chicago did it, and, you know, we brought it up, and me and Adrian McCarron was looking at it, was watching film one day, and was like, actually, we probably can run that. So we kind of threw it out there to Tim Kelly and LB, and then the Hop saw it, and the Hop, of course, he's like, yeah, let's do it. So he was excited, so we kept working on it, and we, you know, knew it was the perfect time where once we get inside that five, it was going to come, so it was good.
They scored, they were able to get the touchdown, they added to the lead. One more from Deshaun Watson, said he almost checked out of that play.
We wanted man coverage where the safety was tilted and it was just one backer here. And they went kind of like a too high look, and it was funky at first. And I wanted to check out of it, but I was like, nah, this is the perfect time. We got it here, so if we don't run it now, we probably will never run it. So I was like, forget it. Hop, me and Hopper made something work. And, you know, he pulled up, and the safety in the corner was sitting out there. I think it was J.C. Jackson. And I've seen Hop tuck it, took one step, and I knew he was going to pitch it right after that. I just know Hop like the back of my hand, and he just threw it up in the air, and I got it and, you know, scored. So it was cool.
Yes, I know it worked. I know they scored a touchdown. I know that it was a great night on Sunday Night Football. Bill O'Brien getting the first victory over Bill Belichick in his entire career. There's many reasons that I didn't like that call. Here's the biggest reason. It reminded me of this play earlier this year.
Second down and 4. Watson throws the receiver screen, and it's a double pass. Hopkins throwing back to the right, and it's picked off. Cockrell to his left. 30, 35, 40. Makes a move to the inside. They got to get him. And he's finally brought down by Sharping and Gillespie at the 46-yard line.
Guys, going back to the game last night, it's 21-9. Texans are winning, 2-possession game. That drive started at their own 25. They march right down the field. It's first and goal at the 6. Why do you need razzle-dazzle? You're driving it right down their throats. That pitch was lofting in the air. What if McCourty just picks that off, takes it the other way for 6? We would be crushing O'Brien today. I didn't like the play call. I know the result worked out okay. It worked. They were kind of lucky on the play because Hopkins just had it floating around in the air. But didn't like the play. It reminded me of the interception against Carolina. You're marching the ball right down their throat. Why are you getting cute?
Negative Nancy.
Why are you getting cute?
Well, you did a hell of a job selling the negative aspect of that play right
there. Why are you getting cute?
Right,
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I'm about to destroy it, but go ahead. Yeah. You got your first side of it.
Here's the deal is, I can see where you're coming from. My first thought was like, man, why? Last time DeAndre Hopkins tried a pass in a game, it didn't turn out real well. But when it's all said and done, I think from a design standpoint, you got your two biggest playmakers on the offensive side of the football handling the rock, two guys that you can trust to not only do the right things and read it the right way, but handle the ball and execute in a big moment. And so I understand people maybe not liking the play. I understand you not liking the play. I understand you being passionate about not liking the play, but in hindsight, it worked. And you gotta appreciate the fact that it's going to be on every highlight reel for the next few days.
JB, did you see the actual play that they took this from when Chicago ran the play?
I missed it.
So you have to see the film of that play to understand. It was a walk-in, wide-open play.
Well, this one wasn't a walk-in.
Well, and the reason – but so it's not the play call. It's not the play design. Deshaun Watson said it himself. We didn't get the look that we wanted to have. The look that Chicago got in that game. They got a look that said, all right, this is not going to work. But he said, the hell with it. I'm going to call it because we're going to make something happen. The difference between this play and that play a few weeks earlier this year, who was that against, Carolina?
Carolina.
Yeah, that was throwing a pass from outside of the left, like the left numbers, all the way across the field. It was a poorly designed play. This play, if you look at how it was designed, it was wide open, like it was like stealing. And so even though the New England Patriots played the play well, you still had two handoffs. So it wasn't like you were double passing and all that type of stuff.
Hopkins,
it was
balling.
It was two handoffs. And so that Hopkins could have easily, if they would have played it differently and took the pitch, man, he could put his foot on the ground and run and score a touchdown. Yeah. He scored a touchdown earlier in this year on a very similar play where they handed him the ball.
I like that play.
Exactly. It's the same. It's just
Hopkins had that ball floating in the air.
Bro, scare money don't make money, baby. I'm going to say it to you 10 times out of 10. Scare money don't make money. That was a beautiful play design. It was a beautiful play call at the time when it did it. If something would have went wrong, it would have went wrong inside of the 5-yard line. It wouldn't have went wrong at your 30-yard line or whatever it was against Carolina. No, it's not worse.
Because, you're about to get six.
No, because when you talk about now your defense has them backed up, now you can actually potentially get a safety and you can force them to punt. They're going to be conservative coming out. So it's actually better to do it where they did it. I saw absolutely nothing wrong with the play. It was a beautiful play, great play call. It was a great execution. And you got to love it, man.
If we're going to nitpick the play, the two things to dislike is the fact that Deshaun said, to hell with it, I'm going to run it and go make it.
Exactly. He told you it was a bad play.
It was a good
play. Just they had a good look to stop that play.
They did a great job of ad-libbing. But if we're going to nitpick it, I would like to hear Deshaun go, hey, man, we checked out of that play because the look wasn't right. I mean, I need him to err on the side more often of I love the moment. I love
win
the fact that they made
Ford,
a play.
Baby. I'm going to ride with Ford, dog.
I agree.
Come on, now.
I'm nitpicking. I'm nitpicking for the sake of nitpicking here just to make Jeremy feel good about his sales job.
You don't need me,
right?
Yeah, I don't need you to make me feel good.
And then the second thing, though, was the only reason the play worked, was I thought Hopkins did a great job of as an old quarterback that had to run the option my freshman year in college. You want to really close the cushion and attack that forced player so that then when you do pitch it, you can afford to pitch it a little bit high. The ball can afford to float it because you've made that defender attack you. The only problem in this case, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but Hopkins got helicoptered essentially. He got hit at the knees and does a flip and lands on his head. So if I'm nitpicking, I don't want Hopkins. I can't afford to lose him. I don't want him going head over heels. And then I would like for Deshaun Watson to when he sees a look that he doesn't like, to get out of it. That's nitpicking.
Hop plays wide receiver, bro. He catches passes over the middle all the time. So him getting flipped,
I don't
and
need
all
him
that
head over heels, Chief.
Hey, man,
there
was
so
a beautiful
much you could
play
go wrong
call,
on that play. So like that ball could have been picked off in the air. What if a defensive back just takes out Watson on that play because he's exposed? He's trying to catch the ball. But Bill O'Brien.
So if that's the case, then they should not run any RPOs.
I mean,
because
times
you can
for
have
it.
They've
there's
had
times
ball handling issues this year where they fumbled the RPO, the first play of the season that happened to them, and they went away with it. That was last season, right?
I think it was last year.
It was last season, the very first play of the season, they fumbled the RPO, and then they went away from it. I mean, that's inherently part of the game. Scare money don't make money.
Right.
That was a beautiful play call. It was executed. Even when the defense had the correct way to play it, it forced them to pitch the ball to the quarterback, which is the last thing you want. But it's Deshaun Watson is the quarterback.
That's
he ain't
true.
Pitching it to Drew Brees. He ain't pitching it to Jameis Winston. He's pitching it to Deshaun Watson. This dude can get up and go, and you saw him go make the play.
When you get misdirection and it involves Hopkins and Watson, you're more than likely going to have success.
You have the advantage
plays,
there.
Right? But, I mean, look, I hear the planning and the idea, wherever the pass against Carolina back in the day, wherever that idea was first created and first thought of,
burn it,
man. I need to burn that sucker. Don't ever do that again. But this was again, you put the ball in Hopkins' hands, you put the ball in Deshaun Watson's hands, good things are going to happen more times than not.
Bill O'Brien would agree with you, Smitty, that it ended well. Whatever ends well, it's all good. And they scored, and that was obviously a big drive in the game. It basically put it away. It was 28-9 at that point, third quarter, as we refused to ignore in victory what we wouldn't in defeat. Clint, Smitty, JB. One of the other things that I think we have to pay attention to is, again, a first series. The Texans have scored 3 points on their first series all year long. This series, they went 3-and-out. But not only did they go 3-and-out, but they also burned a timeout. I always like to listen to the reaction of the fans at NRG Stadium because that is the voice of the fans. Those 65,000 or whatever it is that are watching the Texans play, those are the guys that we speak to every day, Monday through Friday. There were boos after the timeout. It gives you an idea of how on edge the fans were about this game. Now, they left happy, and they left pumped, they left thrilled as they've been in a long time over at NRG Stadium. But again, the Texans struggling early in a series.
Your point of them struggling is a real problem. I mean, that's something that they've got to continue to overcome. The first 40 seconds, the 40 seconds is when they called the timeout, and but more importantly, the 3-and-out. I want to challenge people to do that. I want to challenge you guys to do this. I want this weekend. We got 4 days to think about it. You can start tonight. I want you to watch football across the board, which I know you do, and I want you to watch how many times a 10-1 football team or a 9-2, they use timeouts in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They use timeouts at inopportune times. They don't all save their timeouts to the very end of the game and then use them to stop the clock to go down and kick a field goal to win the game. So I don't want to overlook the fact that the second play of the game you're having to call a timeout. That's a problem. The whole coming out of the locker room is a real problem for the Texans. Coaching staff, players, execution, game, everything needs to be shuffled around and figured. That needs to be figured out. It needs to be changed. It needs to be improved, obviously. But I think there's an overreaction to the use of timeouts with the Houston Texans. There's been some terrible moments in Bill O'Brien's career of complete mismanagement that's damn near criminal from time to time. I mean, it's like, what are we doing? But that coming out on Monday night, I mean, you're playing against a defensive-minded coach that is known for throwing all kind of different looks at you. And if you got to use a timeout to avoid a disaster on the first drive, man, burn that timeout and move on. I think that gets blown out of proportion quite a bit with Bill O'Brien at this point.
Man, we're talking about timeouts now. The timeout we need to talk about is the one that Bill O'Brien did take.
You're right.
When the catch was out of bounds, but they said that he was in bounds.
It was
the end of the first half, so he couldn't throw a challenge flag, but it was under the last 2 minutes, so now he calls the timeout, completely going against what he said in the past, and I wish B-Mac was here because he'd probably send it out.
It's not my job.
It's not my job, but that he showed that, you know what, it is his job to make the NFL do the right thing and look at it, because the Patriots were about to get that playoff, and they barely – he called a timeout just in time in order to make that happen, and so – that was a great timeout by Bill O'Brien. The NFL didn't do the right thing, and they got the call wrong. But you have to give them – when you look at a situation, you have to give your team every opportunity to win and to have success. And so that was a critical play in the game. It was right before the half. And so I love that he called that timeout and let it be known that it is his job.
Yeah, wait, where are you at with using timeouts? And, like, to me, as an old quarterback, when I look at, like, if I come out of the locker room and we got a certain plan of attack on the first drive, and the second play of the game I look up, and then maybe we have a shot called, and I don't have a way to get out of it or whatever. I got a shot called, or I got a hard play action call where I know I'm going to have to hold the football, and I get some exotic look up front where guys are coming and the offensive line's going, hey, boom, boom, here, rip, 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 and everybody's trying to figure out what the hell's going on. I'm completely okay with going, hey, timeout. Let's rethink this thing right here versus saying to hell with it and taking the penalty, taking the delay of game, or snapping the football and God knows what could happen at that point in time.
That early timeout doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me is when you have a situation where the Texans call a timeout because they couldn't get lined up correctly. They come out of that timeout, and then they line up incorrectly again and get a penalty.
They almost did
that
last
type
night.
Of stuff. That's the stuff that you say, like, man, what the hell is going on around here? Like, the coaching is not on point and the players are not on point right now, and you can't have that. That type of stuff you got to eliminate. But him calling a timeout early in the ball game because there's something wrong with how they're lined up or what they saw on defense, and they need to get this right, especially with the amount of pressure I'm sure that they've put on themselves, and, of course, the pressure they're getting from the outside of people complaining about what's going on early in ball games, you got to put your best foot forward. I would love for them to do a first five. You don't have to do a first 15.
Yeah.
Just do a first five. You know what I mean? Do a first five so that every...
I'm still baffled about Wade.
He said it before in his interviews in the past multiple times. Like, he doesn't do a first 15, and everybody has different philosophies of why they do things and why they don't do things, and his is his. But I would love for him to do a first five to where those... Every player on the team knows what's coming before it comes. When you're going to sleep at night before the game, you're going over what potential looks I'm going to see on these plays, what waves we're going to adjust. And I always loved that part of it when I was playing for Gary Kubiak. And it seems like it's more of a Shanahan tree, Bill Walsh tree type of thing. Because when I was with the Jets and we had one of those coaches from that tree, we had a first 15. Yeah. When I was with Seattle, when I was with Kansas City, well, I didn't have it at Kansas City, not Kansas City, but Seattle and here, it was the same thing. You had the first 15 plays and you knew what was coming before, you know, you were going through it in your head two or three plays before. And so that was always a place of confidence that you attacked each and every ball game. Don't give me 15, just give me 5, man.
Man,
I would
love
that.
Give me 15 or 20, man. Give me 15 or 20. I know where I'm going to get me a nice, easy completion right here, over here. If they don't give me the look, then I'll adjust. Yeah. Leave it on me. But I know where I'm going to get me a nice, easy completion over here. I'm looking for this 5 technique to run this particular run play against it strong. If I don't get it, I'm going to opposite. I'm going to run that thing to the left. I mean, give me 15 where I at least – because I tell you what, when you come out, I'll never forget that, man. When you come out, And your first 15 play, you vary from it, because if you get 1 yard on first down, now you're in second nine. The play call may change a little bit, but then you get right back on track. But man, when you come out and you bang off about 7 of those first 15s, and you know, okay, coach, you're on point, the plan's on point, the prep's on point, just keep rattling off that first 15 and let's keep chopping on these boys. That is a beautiful feeling. You know you're in a rhythm. When it's like the back of your hand, and you got all 15 plays written down in your wristband.
Talking about the timeouts, like I those are incredibly valuable. Timeouts are incredibly valuable. I don't like the mismanaging of timeouts late in a half or late in a game, whenever it costs you valuable seconds, whether to try to extend the game, you're coming back, things like that. I don't mind timeouts early in games, early in quarters, whatever the case may be, whenever they're possession ramification timeouts. Like, if you can keep a drive alive, then I'm totally cool using a timeout. If you can end a drive, you don't have the right defense out on a 3rd and 7, use the timeout. They can be incredibly valued time savers, but they're also incredibly valuable to try to either keep a possession or get your defense off the field.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're valuable. They're very, very valuable. There's no doubt about it. But it's just one. If you can avoid a negative situation out of the gate versus a coach that is known to be exotic on the defensive side of the football, then damn it, use it. And it's okay. It's A-OK if you use it. Now, unfortunately, they used it. They still went 3 and out. It was still the protection still broke down, or either that or Deshaun Watson held the football a little bit long and ended up rolling out and having another incompletion. So the problem still exists, but at least you're using it at a time where you know, hey, they're trying to get better coming out of the locker room. And if you use a timeout there in that process, it's okay. It's all right. It's not the end of the world.
Meanwhile, Tytus Howard went on the IR. They placed him before the game. This isn't something that happened during the game, but Bill O'Brien talked about earlier today why they placed Tytus Howard on the IR.
We thought it was in the best interest, you know, relative to what he was able to do, where he was at with his knee, that it was in the best interest of him to move in that direction.
Kind of a surprising move that we didn't really anticipate, because he came back from the knee injury, still got placed on the IR, and we saw that Chris Clark started the game at right tackle. They went with a platoon there. Chris Clark played about 60% of the snaps. Roderick Johnson played about 40% of the snaps. So that is a loss for the Houston Texans going forward.
Yeah, it's a big loss, because you're talking about a guy with an extremely high ceiling, and he's nowhere near it because he's so young. I mean, he's only going to get better, and he gets significantly better with every single snap of every ball game, where he sees things for the first time. He adjusts on the fly. I mean, that's where you're going to see a guy like Tytus Howard make the most progress. But if you're – I love the decision, because he's a young player, and if he's in a position where he's not getting better, okay, or if it's bothering him more as he progresses, and there's potential of him getting hurt long-term, and not long-term to next year, but getting long-term and having to rehab the entire offseason instead of take your body to the next level and take your mind to the next level as a professional offensive lineman in this league, I think it's detrimental to him. It's detrimental to the team. And if he can't go full go, it's tough to just keep on keeping on throughout the season.
Yeah, it was completely surprising that they put him on IR just based off of his performance after he came back from the injury. I thought he played well through it. You could see that it was still bothering him, but he still was playing at a high level. So it had to be a situation to where, you know, it was getting progressively worse, and he knew that it was, you know, it's a better situation for you to just shut it down and get yourself ready for next year, as opposed to just exacerbating. What's the word I want to use?
That's over my head. That's above my pay grade.
It's in my head, but I can't come out.
You might want
to vocabulary over here.
I can't even think.
You're looking at the wrong two guys.
Well, exaggerate. That's the word I think it is.
I'll take your word for it.
Exacerbating?
Exacerbate. That's what it is.
There we go.
Be careful.
You can get it. But yeah, man. So it was going to make the injury worse if he kept playing through it. And so they decided to go ahead and shut it down, and I think that's the smart thing to do, but it definitely caught me off guard. It definitely was a surprising turn of events, but it was a good thing that Cliff Clark and Roger Johnson played well. I thought they played well as a substitution for him, and so that was big time, and they're going to have to play well going forward, and I think they're going to probably be splitting reps for the rest of the season.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.